I read a book from Pastor Haynes gave me this book. It's called The Will of God Might Be a Bitter Cup. That's what the name of it is, by Don Woodward. And it's been pretty life-changing to read this book. It's not very long, a couple hundred pages or whatever. I started reading it one time. I got almost all the way through it. Then I just set it down and kind of walked away. And then somebody got on me about getting back into it last night. I started from the beginning, went all the way through the whole thing last night. I'm just glad I did, because it needed to be. There was some stuff in there I just really needed to see. Something that really helped me this morning when I got up. Just some things. And let me just tell you about surrendering. Jesus left the biggest example of what, I mean, us surrendering our life. That he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now listen to me. He's all fully God. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying. God, and I'm going to paraphrase this. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Your will. Now listen, people. We sit here and we murmur and complain. I told my wife about this morning. I said, you think we have a bitter cup? We don't know a bitter cup, because he knew. Yes, he got his beard pulled off and beat. The crucifixion. I mean, just everything that could have. That's a bitter cup. Here's the worst part of that bitter cup for him: when God turned his back on him. He knew he was going to face that, and still yet he chose to do his Father's will. To have compassion on you. Do you realize that part of his compassion was knowing that he's going to go to that cross and the Father's going to turn his back on it, but he still had enough love to go through it. He still said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. I'm just telling you, that book, man, this guy here, he's got a grip on it. I mean, he knows, he's been through it. And you know what? It's okay if we have a bitter cup. He says, you don't have to like your bitter cup, but just surrender to that bitter cup. Just surrender, because the God, you know what the one thing that taught me is that God knows what's happening in the beginning, and he knows the finishing. He knows where I'm going to be after all this mess that I go through. Here I'm trying to trust in myself and trust in my decisions and so on and so forth. You know what God said? He said, just sit back. I know what's going to happen. You don't. Sit back and let me have control of this. Put your faith in me. Let me walk you through this. I got control. It's time for me and my wife just to surrender control to him. And this book, I'm going to, man, Pastor, he can get copies. I'm going to let Tanya read it first. If anybody else wants to read it after that, I'm just telling you, once you start, man, don't stop. Just read that book. And it just, it's a life-changing experience, man. I mean, it just gave me a lot of good insight, how to handle things. And I woke up with the peace of God in my life, second to none. I don't usually send verses out to a lot of people. You know, sometimes I do. This morning I sent one out because the peace of God that passes all understanding came into my heart today. Just came into my mind. And I was able to get up. I mean, I was up all night in pain. My wife hears me moaning and groaning and getting up, and then I get hit at 4 o'clock in the morning with this ball-sized cramp in my calf, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs at the dogs and everybody going nuts because it just hurts so bad. And here at 4 o'clock, I go out. She's, you know, upset. I'm like, it's all right. I'm just gonna go sit out there in the recliner, and I fell asleep for a few more. And then she came at about 6:30. She goes, you still want to get up at 6:30? I said, no, I'm gonna lay down, go back to sleep. The Lord said, no, you're not. I said, you're right, I'm not. I got up and read my Bible, prayed. I mean, just got on my face and said, let's do this, Lord. And that was one of the parts of my life that he needed me to surrender. Stop being lazy, trying to sit till 8:15 on a Sunday morning, not praying, not getting in your Bible, getting close to me. I need to be in touch with God before I do anything. I need to be in touch with him on a Sunday morning as well as I am on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Why not Sunday morning? I want to sleep in. God didn't take a vacation, and now I'm not going to take one either. But thank God I got up and was able to do that. I read 1 Corinthians 11 about taking the table. I want to make sure that my heart was all right with the Lord, that I was okay. If there was something there, let me get it out. Let me confess it. And lo and behold, the devil didn't attack my family this morning. If I didn't have that peace, I would have fell apart with him.
Amen.
Huh? Just a little obedience. We ask you for just a little willingness. Well, I'm going to start. You guys heard this before. We're going to go to Romans 12 because the Lord just gave me a different outlook on Romans 12. I'm going to start in verse 2. And I think it's really good. I mean, just God is good. My wife's reading a book that Pastor gave her that Dr. Don Green read. And She's stuck at a point right now, but I'm telling you, man, when the Lord breaks through on her, I mean, he's going to break through on her, and that's going to be a good thing. He's really been working on her, showing her some things. You know, if there's no better joy than to watch the Lord work on my wife and her seeing things. I mean, Pastor, what a joy to see the Lord taking the time to work with her, and she's going, oh, I love seeing, because I know the joy of when God does that to me. I know what it's like I'm like, man, that's it. Gosh, okay, all right. And I get to see her do that, and that's just a joy to me. And when the Lord shows her things, she finally goes, man, we had a good talk last night, I believe, though. I just believe the Lord was in that, don't you, man? She's a perfectionist, and God doesn't like that in her. I'm just going to tell you that right now. He does not like that in her. And it's hurting her very, I'm not going to go into the whole story, but she'll admit it, she'll tell you, it's hurting her very bad. Bad. To the point, I mean, severe depression and everything else. And I believe that's one of the things the Lord's trying to show my wife. You don't have to be a perfectionist. You got to let go of that thing. Got to surrender that thing. Let that thing go. That's what he wants for my wife. And she'll tell you the whole story if you ask her one day. She'll tell you what it's about. Some part of it's good, but anyway, Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the part I want to get. The renewing of your mind. You see, people get this this thing in their, you know, when they get saved, that nothing has to change. The Bible says that our hearts are wicked. It's desperately, I mean, above all things. And I sent Pastor a couple texts. I was doing a little study on the word heart there. And let me tell you something. The heart is a very tricky thing. It's very tricky to discern. That's why God said, let me have control of the heart. And see, you know that Jesus, he knows how to discern. He knows the reins. I mean, he knows what the thoughts and intents of that. But this is what he wants you to have control over. He wants you to have control of your mind. It's not about that mind. He has given you free rein in your mind. You need help with your heart because your heart is desperately wicked. He's shown that to us. That's why we needed salvation. It's just desperately wicked. We can't do nothing with our heart without Jesus Christ. Outside of Jesus Christ, our heart is... Listen, saved people, you know your heart's still desperately wicked as a saved person. You know it is. We all know that. So we need Jesus Christ to go ahead and get in there and help change our heart. But I don't, you know, I've never seen in the Bible where our heart ever changes, but I know where it says in there where our mind changes.
Right.
Things in our mind change. That happens in salvation. Things in our mind change. Our heart's a little tricky. I don't know the whole thing. The Lord's put me in the study in that. Or when I figure it out, I'll give it to you. But I'm just saying, I know one thing. The one thing is very clear in the Word of God is the renewing and making your mind new. New mindsets, new thoughts, new, I mean, things that are new in your head. So I want to go into this a little bit. The first one I want to go into, you see, I just read that. I'll read it again. Chapter 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, when you renew your mind, it's the perfect will of God. It's acceptable to Him. He's happy. He's happy with that. You got to get in there and renew your mind, though. You can't be I mean, could you imagine? Here I am saved, and I'm walking around thinking and doing the same things that I always used to. That is not an acceptable will of God. That is not. Listen, if you're walking around here and you're a Christian and you are not changing anything, and God is showing you something blatantly and telling you, listen, you got to have a different mindset on this, and you go ahead and ignore that. That is not His will. He is not happy with that. Take it for what you want. He's not going to be happy with that. Do you think He's taking His time to show you? He's already, I mean, He loves you. Could you imagine? I mean, God is taking time to show you something and you want to throw it away. Now, I don't always catch on. I'm a knucklehead. I'm a hard-headed guy. I have been my whole life. But I'm starting to wake up to the fact that when God shows you something, go ahead and work on that now. Don't keep throwing it away because it just gets worse. Just show me one time. I wish it was that. Show me one time and it's not. But I'm just getting to the point in my life where I'm just like, that's Lord, it can't be me anymore. It's just got to be You. I need to understand. I need You to show me. This needs to be plain and clear because I am sick of living my life like this. My wife looked at me yesterday. She goes, I'm sick of me. I'm glad you're getting sick of you. Because when you get sick of you, then God can do something with you.
That's right.
I'm not perfect, baby. Am I perfect? Not at all. But I just know one thing. I need to be moved out of the way, man. Me. I need to be moved out of the way so He can move in and do what He needs to do. And that's not going to happen if my mind's still focused on the same things. But let me not get ahead of myself. Let's go to Luke 8. Luke 8. God's got plans, man. He's got plans, whether you're in them or not. You can be a part of it. You don't have to be part of it. That's up to you. And he's got plans. I think he's got good plans for people. I showed the kids this morning. It says it's not God's will that any should perish, that all should come to repentance, right? And then we go ahead and see where the leper approaches him. And he says, if you will, you can make me clean. You know what Jesus says? I will be thou clean. It was Jesus' will to save somebody, cleanse them, make them clean, and make them whole, just as well as it was the Father's. They agree on that. People, they don't understand it. It's not, listen, yes, God is mad at evil all day long and mad at wickedness and so on. But I'm going to tell you now, right now, he would be more apt to take you into his arms right now rather than kick you to hell. He'd more be apt to save you rather than kick you to the curb. He's not sitting there saying, I don't want you to come. No, he wants you to come. Why? It says it's his will that none shall perish, but all should come to repentance. Jesus stuck his hand out to that leper and said, I will be thou clean. That's what Jesus wants to do to everyone sitting in this church. It's his will that people get saved, not go to hell. He doesn't want that. People choose that, though. You see, they don't have the right mindset. You got to have a mindset of thinking about what Jesus would do. What would he do? You know, there's that big old thing. What would Jesus do? Really, think about it. You know what? Them guys may not be right in everything, but sometimes they might have a good concept there. You should be more like Jesus. What would he do in this situation? Just more, like Pastor Haynes said, if Jesus Christ stood here, we'd all be on our face. What could you really say to Jesus if you're standing here and you're lost? What's your excuse for not getting saved? He already knows the answer. He knows the answer. It's you. You. Luke 8:35. Yes, 8:35. Then they went to see what was done and came out. Jesus found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You must be touched by Jesus. Your mind cannot be renewed unless you are touched by Jesus Christ. I'm telling you now, the same old mindset, the same old ways, the same old person you are will never change until you are touched by the Savior. You will think the same. You will act the same. What's in a man's heart? Listen, I was just going through Proverbs the other day. You know what's in a man's heart? That's where he really lives. That's what he really is. I mean, that's what that person, and people just can't see that. They are so blind to that. That you're, listen, a lot of people are trying to hide things, but they don't understand. But them trying to hide it so much, they're really exposing themselves. Listen, when you're doing things, you can see it plain as day. Why? Because it's in your mind that you're doing something right, and it's absolutely wrong, and you know it's wrong, but you think you got the answer, and that you're doing things right, and you're just blowing it up. I know people who really, and I mean who really, think that they are okay, and think that they are living a good life, and they don't understand that the things that they are trying to hide, I see right through it. You're not hiding nothing. If I can catch on to it, and if I can see it, what about God? You think he doesn't see that? Of course he sees that. We need to come into our right mind at salvation. Our thinking will become new. Romans 12:2 takes place by the renewing of our mind. Listen to me. I got saved. And when I got saved out of this world, you guys might not agree with me, and that's okay. But Jesus clothed me and put me in my right mind.
Amen.
The world doesn't see Dale Murray as somebody who's clothed in the right mind. They see me as an absolute nut, a Bible freak, and whatever else they want to call me. And I'm fine with that. Because you know why? They hated me more. They hated me more when I was who I was. But I have a new mindset. Well, I sit here and I watch my family suffer. I do. And I watch us go through hard times. And you know what? I tell my wife, honey, I could go out right now and I could make us a lot of money. You think I have forgotten all the tricks of the trade? I can go out there and make money. But my mindset has changed. I say, now, Lord Jesus, I'm going to trust you to take care of me and my family. He's not let us down. Some close calls. We get nervous. We start biting our fingernails and so on. But I'm just going to tell you right now. So my mindset isn't out there to go out there and steal anymore. Or to go out there and make some quick money. Or go out there and just sacrifice. Do you realize I'd be sacrificing Autumn, Luke, and my wife? For 10 minutes to help get money, to help pay one bill, I go ahead and destroy a testimony of what God has done in my life? Not worth it to me. Now in the past, it would have been worth it to me. It wouldn't have mattered to me. But I have a new mindset, you understand? When I got saved, I started thinking differently. I make decisions, not according to moi, but my family. My family is first. They will tell you that. Listen, when I make decisions, it's not just they make me happy. I have three other people living in the house that I have to make decisions for, with, by. I mean, all that stuff. Listen, that's not something I ever did. You ask anybody that knows me in my past, I did not make decisions for family. I walked out of my family. That was my mindset. I walked out on past wives. I walked out on my children. That was my mindset. You see, I have a new mindset. There's something that happened to my... I renewed my mind. Jesus came in and clothed me and said, I'm going to put you in your right mind. I'm in my right mind. And I just am in my right mind. And I thank God for the Bible. I thank God for the preacher. I thank God for the church we have. Why? Because that's what gets my mind right. Gets my mind right. This book that I read, I'm telling you, this guy puts more scripture in a book than I've ever seen. The book is just about a whole Bible. Why? Because he knows that's where the power is at. It's in the Word.
Right.
It's in the Word, man. That Bible is powerful. How else can we renew our mind? Psalm 119.9. Most of you know it. Psalm 119.9. I'm going right past it. Psalm 119, verse 9. Whither all shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto unto thy word. You want your mind to change? You want things to be, you want to change different? Get into the Word of God and let that... Listen, me and my wife have learned in the past few months that... this is probably the last 6 months. We can't make decisions without Jesus. We can't make decisions without being in the Word of God. We cannot make decisions on our own because all it does is fall apart. We need to get in to the Word of God. What's the Word of God? We say, well, what's the Word going to do? It's going to brainwash me. Somebody said I was brainwashed. That's right. I'm brainwashed by the Word of God. Good. Let me brainwash then. I like being brainwashed if I'm brainwashed by the Word of God. That doesn't make me mad. That makes me happy. I'll get brainwashed me then. Let the Word get in there and wash my brain. That's what it's doing. It's changing it. It's making me look at things differently. It's making me talk differently. It makes me see things differently. I mean, everything that I do with my mind is different now. I have different outlook and mindset on things. It used to be. It wouldn't bother me to see a lady sitting there in a bikini. That was my mindset. Now it would just tear me out the frame because I know in my past I was addicted to pornography. And something just that little, you call that little to you, but something that minute to me could ruin my whole life.
Yep.
So I have a different mindset. I don't look at stuff like that. I don't care what you think of it. I don't need to look at anything like that. I have my own supermodel. Her name is Amy. The Lord blessed me with her. You guys may think, you know, maybe you younger people think it's funny or whatever. I'm just telling you, I have a new mindset now, you see. I'm not lusting after all these women and all that stuff. And I'm not saying women are beautiful. God, I'm just telling you, man. God made women beautiful for a reason. He gave me a beautiful woman. Why? So I can be with her. Me and her can be together. We can grow together, love together, and do what we need to together. You ruin your life. Now, was that always my mindset? No, it was not. I had an absolute, horrible, disgusting, perverted mind. And if I'm not careful now, I can have that right back again very quickly. I have to be on guard with my... Now, did I always guard my mind like that? No, I did not. Well, how do I guard my mind? Psalm 119.9. By the Word. Taking heed unto the Word. Listen to me. The Bible says do what it says. It doesn't say just hear what's coming out of the Bible, but do what it says. James says don't be just a hearer, but a doer. Do what that Word is telling you. Man, why does it tell you to do it? Because it knows it's going to change your mind. It's going to change your heart. It's going to change your ways on things. You can't just hear the Word of God. You got to do something about it. What do you got to do about it? Do what the Bible's telling you to do. You think it's hard. It's not. You know why? Because you're listening to the world. You listen to the devil. You listen to drugs, rock and roll, everything else. You listen to all that stuff just fine. But you can't listen to the Word of God. You tell me you want it, do you? Listen to it then. Listen to it. Listen, it's just going to help your mind. It's going to heal you, man. I mean, it's going to do things for you you never thought possible. By the Word of God renews our mind, our thoughts, and our intentions. Hebrews 4:12. We all know what that says. Hebrews 4:12. I'm going to turn there. Maybe. Here we go. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, the Word of God knows what we're going to be thinking. The Word of God knows what we're going to be saying. So this is what it does. When you start reading the Word and start meditating on it, something's going to pop up in your life. And you know what? Your old ways are used to popping up. But the more you read the Word, the more you get into it, the more you pray over it, the more you memorize it, guess what? When a decision comes, a verse may pop into your head. A situation that happened in the Bible is going to pop into your head. Your old ways are going to start going away, and the new things, the new mind is going to start coming in. And you're going to be able to, you know why? Because the Bible knows what you're thinking. If you all, anybody in here sitting here thinking the Bible doesn't know who you are, you're all fooled. The devil's got you tricked. The Word of God says that it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. It knows your heart. This is what amazes me about this book. Because it knows, you could just go ahead and put my name in here because it knows Dale Morey. It knows everything that I was, everything that I did, the things that I said. It knows exactly where I was. And it told me how to solve that problem. It told me how to get rid of that. That's a this thing is powerful. I'm going to tell you this now. As God is my witness, there have been God bodies, Nation of Islam, Muslims and all this, who will go and they'll read Proverbs and Psalms because they said there's power in there that they have never seen. Yes, they can remember their Quran and their surahs and Torah, surahs and all this stuff. They can memorize the whole Quran. I mean, they say it over and over. Yes, we know the whole Quran. Yes, we understand it all, blah, blah, blah. You know what? I'm just going to tell you, that does nothing for them. Our pastor's been studying the Bible 30 some odd years. This preacher's out there, been out there doing it longer than him. You know what? They still don't understand this Bible completely. And that's amazing to me. This thing is alive. This thing here will change your life, but you gotta want it. You gotta have a different mindset to it. You gotta look at it differently. You can't come at it the angle that you always have. You gotta come at it. How would Jesus look at this? How would he want me to see this? Oh, you ever pray before you read? Just do a quick little, hey Lord, you know, give me something out of here today. Give me something that I could use. Do something like that. That'll help you, man. It'll help you see what he wants you to see. Just a little quick thing like that. He's not asking you to do backflips. You know, Lord, show me the circus and fireworks going on. You know, I told Amy last night, I said, God may not talk to you ever like that. Amy, always be in his still small voice.
Right.
Listen. You gotta listen. If you know, it says, how does faith come? By hearing the word of God. You gotta listen. Gotta listen. Then you gotta put it into play. You gotta put this thing in motion. Something's gotta happen. You gotta put it in motion. You can't just be a hearer of all, your whole life. There's people sitting in churches today. My gosh, they've heard the word their whole life and still lost, dying, and going to hell. And they know it. They've heard it and done nothing with it. Why? They don't have that mindset. I had the mindset. You know, I've come from the gutters, man. Jesus promised me something different. I'm going to get it. I got it. I wouldn't trade it. You can have whatever you want. Do what you want with your life. You go ahead. I wouldn't trade my life with yours. I just would not. Why? Because I'm in my right mind now. I see things differently. Gosh, if I could have only seen this way years and years ago, I would have saved myself so much trouble. If I could just seen and had the mindset that Jesus has, that I could just see it, and somebody would just say, listen, please get into this and just look at this differently. Have a different mindset. When you get into the Word of God, have an open mind. See what it's saying. You can't just say, no, it's not true. You don't even know the Bible. How are you going to say it won't work? You don't know that. Gosh, man, I'm glad it worked for me. You know what? It works for everybody that goes in there with a whole 100% heart. It won't let you down. This world will. The Word of God will not let you down. God won't let you. Jesus, they're not there to kick you down. They're there to get you up. You see, that's what this world is good for. Beating you up, spitting you out, and just leaving you for death. You ever read the Samaritan, the guy who got beat up on the side of the road, and the Levite and the priest walked by the guy after he got beat up, and the Samaritan came and helped him? Well, you just go ahead and look at that as a picture. And the guy who got beat up, that's what the world does to you. Just beats you up. I mean, uses you, spits you out, just does every crummy thing to you, and then the world walks by you. And then Jesus comes along and says, I got you.
Amen.
I'll come for you. I want to heal you. I'll do what you need me to. Come on. Let me put you on. Let me get you somewhere. And then it'll take you to the inn. You know, the guy went to the inn. That's a picture of Jesus. That Samaritan is a picture of Jesus. He says, let me bring you to the inn. And then he puts somebody in charge of him, doesn't he? That's our pastor. The guy in the inn is a picture of a pastor who Jesus says, I want you to take care of these people. You're in charge of them. Anything that you spend, I'll take care of you in heaven. Your reward's in heaven.
Amen.
And see? He puts people in charge. Why? Listen, because Jesus doesn't want to kick you down any more than you are. He's not going to walk by and say, yep, told you. No, he wants to pick you up. He wants to touch you with that compassion. If you read that story about the leper, he reached his hand out because why? He was moved with compassion. Don't sit here and think today that Jesus hasn't been moved with compassion for you. But you would have none of it. Have that mind. Jesus has compassion for you. He has his hands sticking out. He said, I will. I will. I'm ready. I'll do it. I'm ready to do this for you. Boy, everybody wants to be like the world. Just keep walking. I want nothing to do with it. Don't blame him for not healing you. You're the one turning away from it. James says, not only reading the word or hearing, but doing what it says. The Bible, James 1, I'm going to go there real quick. James 1, 23 and 24. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner he was. You understand, by reading this word, it's going to show you exactly what you are. And if you don't do it, listen, it has the answer for you. It's trying to tell you, listen, this is what you are. This is what you need to do to remedy that. Now you can just close it up and forget about what you are. You don't even have to pay attention to what that Bible just told you. That's what most people do. Because they don't like to see what they really are. They don't like to hear it. Come on. Now listen, we've all been together 6.5, 7 years since pastor's been here. We've heard some preaching and we've been convicted. We've been mad at pastors and everything else. Why? Because God moved in your heart and showed you what you really are and you didn't like it. Just don't like it. James says, don't just throw that away. Do something with that. Do something with it. That's the whole intentions and thoughts of your heart that God is trying to get at. He's trying to chop that up and show you. Here, man, here. Here, let me show you. Here. God wants nothing else. I think Pastor said this years ago. He said, God wants nothing else more to show you, but to show you what you are. Show you what you need. He wants to show you what you can have, what you can't be. He just wants to show. He wants you to see what he already sees. This was a piece of wood at one time. But the guy who made it knew what it was going to look like at the end. That's what Jesus is looking at with you. You may be in a mess and drugs and doing everything under the sun that is wrong, but Jesus sees you beyond that. He sees what you can be. You just don't have that. You don't put your faith in that. You got to be a doer of the word. You got to have that mindset to do it. But if you do what the word shows you, you will have a renewed mind. That Romans 12:2 talks about. We need to have faith in God's word, and it will do what it says. Isaiah 55:11. Isaiah 55:11. You've been hurt by everybody. You've been hurt by this world and kicked down. I mean, is it going to hurt you to really get into the Word and really let this do what he really wants you to do? What's it going to hurt you? You can't. I mean, really, the world's already destroying you. Why not get into the Word and get into what Jesus has for you and let him change your mind on some things? You don't see things differently because you don't allow Jesus to come in there and change your mind. You don't allow him to get in there and discern that heart. Chop that sucker up and show you, this is what you are. This is what you need to change. You don't let him get in there and do that. I mean, I don't want to see hands, but how many honestly read their Bible every single day? Really? Just how many? And I'm going to tell you, you can see the difference. You don't have to lie because you can see it in your life anyway. You can see the difference in the people who are reading their Bibles every day and who ain't. You can just see it. Some you can't because, you know why? They're reading the Bible and not doing anything with it. That's a big mistake. God gave you the Bible for you to read, and then when he shows you something, say, that's you right. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God has sent his word out, the King James Bible. He has sent this out to accomplish what he pleases. What's going to make him happy? What do you think is going to make him happy? For you to have a changed mind about his word. For you to have a changed life. For you to have a better life. I mean, he's got something out there better for you. And all he wants you to do is just, he wants you to see that. He wants you to understand that. He doesn't, we fight everything good that comes along in our life. I know Luke does all the time. Anything that could be good for him, he wants to fight tooth and nail. And I'm like, why? Why? Anything good for you? Why are you fighting it? You know, I told my teens this morning, I said, my gosh, these rock stars and, you know, musicians and all that, you know what they are? They're the world that walks by you. Because when you're hurting and you're down in the dumps and there's just, I mean, nobody around. Are they there to help you? Are they there to come lift your hand? Are they there to pray for you? I mean, are they going to come visit you? Are they going to help pay your bill? No. That's not what the world does. But I'm telling you now, you get in, man, with these people will pray for you. The church, you guys, you pray, you know, we take care of each other. We love each other. I mean, nobody just wants to see the love anymore. Nobody wants to hear all Christianity and this and that. But why? Because there's people out there destroying the name of Jesus all over the place. Just dragging them all through the mud. I mean, I seen this one band, and they call themselves a Christian band. I about puked on myself because I just couldn't believe you would call yourself a Christian band. Yeah. Disgust me. You make me sick. Don't call yourself a Christian. Where are you at then? How can you ain't helping nobody? How can you not help with the hunger? You're just taking all these Christian money and you're keeping it for yourself, but you ain't doing nothing out there in the midst. You ain't paying no money and you ain't helping nobody else. Come build me a house there. I need help. Come build a house. Come feed my family for a couple weeks. You love Jesus so much. Come on. We can use some money here in Black Creek. Bring it here, Mr. Christian. That's the world. That's that foolishness. Just put the name of Christ on and call it a Christian. You'll be okay. I'm telling you. That's right there is going to send people to hell. His word will change your thoughts. 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles 28. I remember the first time the pastor said, you know, you really shouldn't listen to stuff that had beats, and I about died. Everything I ever listened to had a beat in it. But then I started reading on it, you know, and I really understood why. And now, I go ahead, my kids go to public school, and sometimes I regret some of the things that happens. Poor Autumn, she comes home to rob the frame because they make her do some kind of dance stuff, and she hates it. Well, they make her, you know, shake this and shake. She does not like that. Autumn comes home crying about it. She does. She complains about it. Because she knows better. She knows that's not the kind of life we live. Why? I mean, but that's what the world is teaching our kids already. How she sits, teaching them how to dance already. Yeah. To that garbage. Just saying. You know, thank God, I mean, she may not hold on to it for all her life, but thank God she has something that bothers her now at six. Maybe she'll stick with it. I don't know. You know, one thing I do, you know, guys, I pray for a godly man to marry her, and I pray for him to be able to marry a godly woman who loves the King James Bible, who serves the Lord. That's what I pray for my kids every day. Don't let them marry these fools out there. I don't want my kids to marry some fool. Marry somebody who, you know, you can love the Lord and be a fool. Right here's one. I'm the same. Let them marry somebody who loves the Lord. They don't have to be. I told that Lord, they don't have to be a pastor or an evangelist. They could just be a prayer warrior, somebody who's sitting there in the pew, listening to the King James Bible, who loves and wants to raise their family that way. That's what I desire for Luke and Autumn. That's what I desire. My son to grow up and be a good dad and be a good husband to his family and be able to go out there and take care of them. That's what I desire for my kids. All this garbage with the beats and all, it just drives me nuts. And I wish I would have seen it earlier in my days. I just didn't. There may be some in here that listens to that stuff, and I'm just telling you now, it's for the demons, man. That's what they like. They like to keep you there. They like to keep you tied up and wrapped up in that garbage. 1 Chronicles 28:9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know that thou the God of my father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. That's a big, big word. A willing mind. Listen, how many people are sitting here today to have a willing mind? I mean, how many of you have a willing mind to see what God really wants for you to get out of your life? That's a painful thing to see, isn't it? You know why the Lord shows people things? Because they have a willing mind. It's those that don't have a willing mind. He just, well, they don't want to listen to me. Why bother? Have a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Could you imagine being that one? There's people walking around today that have been cast off forever. That God just said, I'm done with them. I'm not messing with them anymore. It's over. Right. Oh, God. I almost cried downstairs. I feel like crying because you don't want... God forbid if anybody ever got cast off that I know. Oh, what a horrible thing. You know, all you got to have is a willing mind. And people don't even want to have a willing mind anymore these days. Just don't want to have a willing mind. Yeah, you may be you know, all messed up in some garbage and listening to the wrong stuff and this and that, but I have a willing mind. Gotta change that. Gotta change that. Let him change your mind. Be willing to have a renewed mind. Number five, willing to live an honest life with a good conscience. Hebrews 13:18. Be willing. Could you imagine just a little bit of people living with a good conscience today? I mean, the drug company would freak out because they would just lose so much business. That's the truth. Hey, I know there's people on pills, and I don't pick on nobody for it. I just don't. But I just tell you, some things people need to feel. I'm so glad that pastor said, Dale, maybe you just need to feel this depression. And that was the answer for me. I'm just saying for me, that was my answer. That's what I needed. And I didn't need the pills. And if you take them, hey, that's between you and God, and you and your doctor. I'm just saying, I needed to feel what I need to feel. Why? Because it gave me a conscience again. It made me live again. It made me feel again. It made me be able to love again. That's what getting off of them did for me. Okay? That's what it did for me. And I'm glad that I feel that pain now. Why? Just like if you feel pain, your arm's telling you, hey, bro, move away from that. It's hurting you. Well, God gave you a conscience like that too. If something's bothering you, you're doing something wrong. He's trying to warn you, get away from it. Get out of it. Leave it alone. Be gone. Walk away from it. Good conscience. Well, that's a miracle that happened to me when I got saved. A conscience. I told my wife that last night. I said, babe, of all things, I just can't believe my conscience. It's so clear. I have a very clear and beautiful conscience. I sleep good at night. Physically, I have a hard time. My conscience does not keep me awake, bother me. People, I tell you this, I don't have nightmares about what I've done in my past or what happened and all. I just don't. That stuff doesn't bother me. My conscience is clear. God has came in and took care of that. I thank him for that. 13:18. Thank God for a clear conscience. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willingly to live honestly. Willingly to live honestly. I mean, just being willing to have that mind. Willing to live honest. That is a hard thing to do in America today, is to live honest. But you know what? The Bible says be willing. Have that mindset. Change your mind and just become willing at something that's worth something today. There's something good, and God just wants you to be willing. And he'll take care of the rest, because he knows we can't. God knows me more than anybody or anything could ever know me. And he knows that I just have to, once he gets me where I'm willing, then he can have his way with me. The point is getting me willing. Yeah, I'm hard-headed just like everybody else. Being willing. 1 Samuel 15, and I'm done. 1 Samuel 15. Gotta have a willing mind. Can't even get a willing mind out of anybody. They're not even willing to work or anything. I mean, nothing. Nothing today. They pass up jobs and opportunities and everything else. Just not willing. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 and 23. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and hearken better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness and iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Obeying the word will renew your mind. Obeying the word and doing what it says is greater than anything that we could ever give up. That's what God has. Read that. Go home and read 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23.
Talking with Pastor Hain today, and we're discussing Dale, and we're both absolutely of one mind. It was fascinating. You know, I had told him, said yesterday, Spirit of God was grieved because Dale hadn't read that book, and Pastor Hain was amazed because the Lord had put that on his heart. Same thing, Dale hadn't read that book. And then he brought up to me Dale's ministry at Wellspring, which has been a huge thing on my mind, both of us in our prayer for him. Dale asked me a question yesterday, when are you going to take me seriously? Now, what do I mean by that? What did he mean by that? I guess watching Dale, we know that Dale will not be a pastor Now, if he'd gone and shot his first two wives, they'd let him be a pastor. Yeah. He'd only have one living wife. Would they, Esther? You know, he'd only got one. They'd forgive him for shooting the first two. All right? But and they would.
Yeah.
Okay? But he didn't. And I thank God he didn't. But Dale's not going to be a pastor. Dale's not going to be a deacon. How many people think he's a pretty tolerable preacher? Okay? Preacher and pastor are not synonymous. They don't mean the same thing. Okay? It's two different words. They're spelled different. They have different definitions. Okay? Now, I guess I've watched with Dale trying to make up my own mind, just where is God with him? Where is God with Dale? And where is Dale with God? Where is he? Okay? And I know a few things. If you learned to preach under Bill Randall, you'd prefer a rattlesnake wrapped around your neck. Okay? Man is mean, he's just hard. But he always said, I want to destroy you here rather than you go out somewhere else and be destroyed. Okay? And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, and he pretty well did his best to destroy us right there. And you some mad at him sometimes, furious, and just can't believe he said those things. So a few things. Number one, you make up your mind if God put you at Wellspring. If he did, treat it like that. It's not a whim, it's not a hobby.
Sure.
Okay? It's one of those things where Jim Arthur needs to be able to set his watch about whether or not you're going to be there. Okay? And just absolutely, this is what God has for me. Hate your mother, hate your father, hate your wife, hate your children, and the ministry that God has given you. The fundamentalists will never open doors for you, ever.
That's right.
It'll be their delight to hold you out. Mm-hmm. Okay? But go make friends of unrighteous men.
That's right. Yeah,
you
yeah.
go make friends those other places, and absolutely let the works of God work through you in those things. Number two. You got a hard situation, and that you've got children by three women, okay? It's a hard situation. Many years ago, Ruth Ann and I knew a man who disgraced his life after he was in the mission field. He had a baby by a native girl, disgrace. Came back, Bill Randall did his best to try to bolster him back up, but he was greatly divided in his mind. He had this baby, what do I do, okay? He's got a wife that's grieving and crying. Such, what do I do? He handled it wrong. His son Benji, last I saw Benji, he was just a stone biker. This has been a kid who grew up in churches and grew up with the word of God and following dad around and on the mission field. And as I say, last I saw just a stone grungy biker because his dad handled it all wrong. Lord told Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her child. Now that doesn't mean he hated the boy. When Abraham died, Ishmael and Isaac got together and they buried their dad. And I've loved that verse more than almost any other verse. Because you folks think, some of you come from divided families, different parents, or this place, that place. Some of you know what that's like, okay? It causes bitterness, it causes hatreds, it causes jealousies, it causes all that. God solved it. God just said, that one's the bondwoman, that one's the child, put them out. Those are your two legitimate children that you have right now. That's your legitimate wife. They inherit. Okay? Abraham gave gifts to the others. Gifts. And he treated them right. They had his name. And each of those tribes, you'll find, said, hey, we came out of Abraham. That's a hard balance. Last year, at the team meeting, you were highlighted. If you think about it, Cliff put you up there a number of times, and a couple of times it blew the house down. Brother Knickerbocker, the Englishman, I forget his name.
Watts,
brother Watts, it blew them away, okay? But it killed the service the night you left. It killed it. I'm just telling you, it just quenched the whole thing, just killed it. And it was that divided mind, which do I handle, this family or do I handle this church? And I didn't say anything at the time because, again, I was trying to decide, where is God with Dale? Okay, where is he? The question you have to decide is, where is he? And where are you with God? make up your mind on that thing with Wellspring. You tell me, no, this is just a hobby, just a whim. Don't treat it as a hobby and a whim.
Sure.
If that's a ministry, then she comes in second place and those two kids come in second place. Have I ever put you before a ministry I ever had?
No, sir.
No. The damage I've done to my family, and I've done damage to my family, I did, because I did put my family first. Okay? And the damage, God blew it up in my face and destroyed my family over that. But where I put my ministry first, and I'm not talking about some sicko that's kids, or I'm not talking about that. Okay? When my family's been in the right place with my ministry, my family's flourished, been happy, content, things were right. Okay? When it's wrong, it's all wrong. Put them in the right place. 2 weeks from now, you tell me what you're going to do. This church is going to give you a license to preach, which is a prerogative that churches have under English law. Okay? And it'll give you that, and you preach without it, doesn't make a bit of difference, but it's just John Bunyan sat in jail for the right that only a church could license a preacher, not the government. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father, I do pray and ask you to put your hand upon Dale. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.